Progress.
Day 97 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 1 Kings 1 through 6. The struggle for the succession. King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. So a servant said to him, "Let a young virgin be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait on the king and be his attendant. Let her lie in your bosom so that my lord the king may be warm." So they searched for a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful. She became the king's attendant and served him, but the king did not know her sexually. Now Adonijah, son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." He prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. His father had never at any time reprimanded him by asking, "Why have you done this and so?" He was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. He conferred with Joab, son of Zerai, and with the priest Abiathar, and they supported Adonijah. But the priest Zadok and Benai, son of Jehoiada, and the prophet Nathan, and Shema, and his companions, David's own warriors, did not side with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatted cattle by the stone Zehoboth, which is beside Enrogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal officials of Judah. But he did not invite the prophet Nathan or Benaiah or the warriors or his brother Solomon. Then Nathan said to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, "Have you not heard that Adonijah, son of Haggith, has become king, and our lord David does not know it? Now therefore come, let me give you advice, so that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go in at once to King David and say to him, 'Did you not, my lord, the king, swear to your servant, saying, your son Solomon shall succeed me as king, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then is Adonijah king?' Then, while you are still there speaking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your words." So Bathsheba went to the king in his room. The king was very old. Abishag the Shunammite was attending the king. Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance to the king, and the king said, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "My lord, you swore to your servant by the Lord your God, saying, 'Your son Solomon shall succeed me as king, and he shall sit on my throne.' But now suddenly Adonijah has become king, and though you, my lord the king, do not know it, he has sacrificed oxen, fatted cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the children of the king, the priest Abiathar, and Joab, the commander of the army. But your servant Solomon has not been invited. But you, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will come to pass, when my lord the king sleeps with his ancestors, that my son Solomon and I will be counted offenders." While she was still speaking with the king, the prophet Nathan came in. The king was told, "Here is the prophet Nathan." When he came in before the king, he did obeisance to the king and with his face to the ground. Nathan said, "My lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall succeed me as king, and he shall sit on my throne? For today he has gone down and has sacrificed oxen, fatted cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's children, Joab, the commander of the army, and the priest Abiathar, who are now eating and drinking before him, and saying, Long live King Adonijah. But he did not invite me, your servant, and the priest Zadok, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon. Has this thing been brought about by my lord the king, and have not let your servant know who shall sit in the throne of my lord after lord the king after him? The accession of Solomon. King David answered, Summon Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king swore, saying, As the Lord lives, who has saved my life from every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, your son Solomon shall succeed me as king, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. So will I do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the ground and did obeisance to the king and said, May my lord King David live forever. King David said, Summon to me the priest Zadok, the prophet Nathan, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada. When they came before the king said to them, Take with you the servants of your lord and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. There let the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, Long live King Solomon. You shall go up following him. Let him enter and sit on my throne. He shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. Benai, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, Amen. May the Lord, the God of my Lord, the king, so ordain. As the Lord had been with the Lord my king, so may he be with Solomon, and make the throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So the priest Zadok, the prophet Nathan, Benai, son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and led him to Gihon. There the priest Zadok took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed him Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, Long live King Solomon. And all the people went up following him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth quaked at their noise. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished feasting. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, Why is the city in an uproar? While he was still speaking, Jonathan, son of priest Abiathar, arrived. Adonijah said, Come in, for you are a worthy man, and surely you bring good news. Jonathan answered Adonijah, No, for our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has sent him with the priest Zadok, the prophet Nathan, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they had him ride on the king's mule. The priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan have appointed him king at Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you heard. Solomon now sits on the royal throne. Moreover, the king's servants came to congratulate our lord King David, saying, May God make the name of Solomon more famous than yours, and make his throne greater than your throne. The king bowed in worship on the bed and went on to pray thus, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who today has granted one of my offspring to sit on my throne and permitted me to witness it. Then all the guests of Adonijah got up trembling and went their own ways. Adonijah, fearing Solomon, got up and went to grasp the horn of the altar. Solomon was informed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. See, he has laid hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear to me first that he will not kill his servant with the sword. So Solomon responded, If he proves to be a worthy man, not one of his hair shall fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. Then King Solomon sent to have him brought down from the altar. He came to do obeisance to King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, Go home. David's instruction to Solomon. When David's time to die drew near, he charged his son Solomon, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong, be courageous, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, as it is written in the laws of Moses, so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Then the Lord will establish his word that he spoke concerning me, if your heirs take heed to their ways and walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and all their soul, there shall not fail you a successor on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also that Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me how he dealt with the two commanders of the army of Israel, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether, whom he murdered, retaliated in time of peace for blood that has been shed in war, and putting innocent blood on the belt around my waist and on the sandals on my feet. Act therefore according to your wisdom, but do not let his gray head go down to Sheol in peace. Deal loyally, however, with the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for with such loyalty they met me when I fled from your brother Absalom. There is also with you Shimei, son of Gera, a Benjaminite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a terrible curse on the day when I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to meet me at the Jordan, I swore to him by the Lord, I will not put you to death with the sword. Therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him, and you must bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol. Death of David. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon consolidates his reign. Then Adoniah, son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. She asked, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably." Then he said, "May I have a word with you?" She said, "Go on." He said, "You know that the kingdom was mine and that all Israel expected me to reign. However, the kingdom has turned about and become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I have one request to make of you. Do not refuse me." She said to him, "Go on." He said, "Please ask King Solomon, he will not refuse you, to give me Abishag the Shunammite as my wife." Bathsheba said, "Very well, I will speak to the king on your behalf." So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him on behalf of Adoniah. The king rose to meet her and bowed down to her. Then he sat on his throne and had a throne brought for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Then she said, "I have one small request to make of you. Do not refuse me." And the king said to her, "Make your request, my mother, for I will not refuse you." She said, "Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to your brother Adoniah as his wife." King Solomon answered his mother, "And why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adoniah? Ask for him the kingdom as well, for he is my elder brother, and the priest Abiathar and Joab, son of Zeruiah, are on his side." Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, "So may God do to me and more also, for Adoniah has devised this scheme at the risk of his life. And therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and placed me on the throne of my father David, and who has made me a house as he promised, today Adoniah shall be put to death." So King Solomon sent Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He struck him down and he died. The king said to the priest Abiathar, "Go to Anathoth, to your estate, for you deserve death, but I will not at this time put you to death, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you shared in all the hardships my father endured." So Solomon banished Abiathar from the being priest to the Lord, thus fulfilled the word of the Lord that he had spoken concerning the house of Eli and Shiloh. When the news came to Joab, for Joab had supported Adoniah, though he had not supported Absalom, Joab fled to the tent of the Lord and grasped the horns of the altar. When it was told King Solomon, "Joab has fled to the tent of the Lord and is now beside the altar," Solomon sent Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go strike him down." So Benaiah came to the tent of the Lord and said to him, "The king commands, come out." But he said, "No, I will die here." Then Benaiah brought the king's word again, saying, "Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me." The king replied to him, "Do as he has said, strike him down and bury him, and thus take away from me and from my father's house the guilt for the blood that Joab shed without cause. The Lord will bring back his bloody deeds on his own head, because without the knowledge of my father David, he attacked and killed with a sword two men more righteous and better than he, Abner son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. So shall their blood come back on the head of Joab and on the head of his descendants forever. But to David and to his descendants and to his house and to his throne, there shall be peace from the Lord forevermore." Then Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went up and struck him down and killed him, and he was buried at his own house near the wilderness. The king put Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, over the army in his place, and the king put the priest Zadok in the place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and summoned Shimei and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, and do not go out from there to any place whatever. For on the day you go out and cross the Wadi Kedron, know for certain that you shall die, your blood shall be on your own head." And Shimei, son to the king, "The sentence is fair, as my lord the king has said, so will your servant do." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem many days. But it happened at the end of 3 years that two of Shimei's slaves ran away to King Achish, son of Maacah of Gath. When it was told Shimei, "Your slaves are in Gath," Shimei arose and saddled a donkey and went to Achish in Gath to search for his slaves. Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath. When Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and returned, the king sent and summoned Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and solemnly adjure you, saying, 'Know for certain that on the day you go out and go any place wherever, you shall die'? And you said to me, 'The sentence is fair, I accept.' Why then have you not kept your oath to the Lord and the commandment with which I charged you?" The king also said to Shimei, "You know in your own heart all the evil that you did to my father David, so the Lord will bring back your evil on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." Then the king commanded Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. So the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Solomon's Prayer for Wisdom. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house in the house of the Lord in the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father, David, except that he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and an uprightness of heart towards you, and you have kept from him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on the throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. And although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this great people of yours?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has had it, but has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Then Solomon awoke. It had been a dream. He came to Jerusalem, where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being and provided a feast for all his servants. Solomon's wisdom and judgment. Later, two women who were prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Please, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth. We were together. There was no one else with us in the house." Only the two of us were in the house. Then this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from me while your servant slept. She laid him at her breast and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my son, I saw that he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, clearly it was not the son I had borne. But the other woman said, "No, the living son is mine and the dead son is yours." The first said, "No, the dead son is yours and the living son is mine." So they argued before the king. Then the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who is alive and your son is dead.' While the other says, 'Not so, your son is dead and my son is the living one.' So the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' And they brought a sword before the king. The king said, 'Divide the living boy in two and then give half to the one and half to the other.' But the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because compassion for her son burned within her, 'Please, my lord, give her the living boy. Certainly do not kill him.' The other said, 'It shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide it.' Then the king responded, 'Give her the living boy. Do not kill him. She is the mother.' All Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to execute justice." Solomon's administrative officers. King Solomon was king over all Israel, and these were his high officials. Azariah of Zadok was the priest. Elihoreph and Ahiah, son of Shisha, were secretaries. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was in command of the army. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. Azariah of son of Nathan was over the officials. Zabud, son of Nathan, was priest and king's friend. Ahishar was in charge of the palace, and Adoniram, son of Abda, was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon had 12 officials over all Israel who provided food for the king and his household. Each one had to make provisions for 1 month in the year. These were their names: Ben-Hur in the hill country of Ephraim, Ben-Deker in Machaz, Shalbim, Beth Shemesh, and Alan Beth Hanan, Ben Hesed and Aroboth, to him belonged Sukkot and the land of Hefer, Ben Anibab and all Nepath Dor. He had Tepath, Solomon's daughter, as his wife, Bana, son of Ahilad, in Tanakh, Megiddo and all Beth Shanin, which is beside Zerathon below Jezreel, and from Bashin to Abel-Melah, as far as the other side of Jokinim. Ben-Geber and Ramoth-Gilead, he had villages of Jair, son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead, and he had the region of Ergob, which is in Bashath, 60 great cities with walls and bronze bars. Ahinadab, son of Edo, and Mahanaim, Ahimaaz and Naphtali, he had taken Basemath, Solomon's daughter, as his wife, Bana, son of Hushai, and Asher and Beloth, Jehoshaphat, son of Pariah, and Issachar, Shimei, son of Ella, and Benjamin, Geber, son of Uri, in the land of Gilead, the country of King Shihon of the Amorites, and of King Og of Bashan, and there was one garrison in the land. Magnificence of Solomon's rule. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea. They ate and drank and were happy. Solomon was sovereign over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines, even to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all these days of his life. Solomon's provision for 1 day was 30 cores of choice flour and 60 cores of meal. 10 fat oxen and 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, beside deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region west of the Euphrates, and he had peace on all sides. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel lived in safety, from Dan even to Beersheba, all of them under their vines and fig trees. Solomon also had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Those officials supplied provisions for King Solomon and for all who came to King Solomon's table. Each one in his month, they let nothing be lacking. They also brought to the required place barley and straw for the horses and swift steeds, each according to his charge. Fame of Solomon's wisdom. God gave Solomon very great wisdom, discernment, and breadth of understanding as vast as the sand of the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman, Calcol and Darda, children of Mahol. His fame spread throughout all the surrounding nations. He composed 3,000 proverbs, and his sons numbered 1,005. He would speak of trees from the cedar that is in the Lebanon to the hyssop that grows in the walls, and he would speak of animals and birds and reptiles and fish. People came from all the nations to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who heard of his wisdom. Preparations and materials for the temple. Now King Hiram of Tyre sent his servants to Solomon when he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram had always been a friend to David. Solomon sent word to Hiram, saying, "You know that my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the warfare with which his enemies surrounded him, until he put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. So I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord said to my father David. Your son, whom I shall set on your throne in your place, shall build your house for my name. Therefore command that cedars from the Lebanon be cut for me. My servants will join your servants, and I will give you whatever wages you set for your servants. For you know that there is no one among you who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." When Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord today, who has given to David a wise son to be over this great people." Hiram sent to Solomon, "I have heard the message that you have sent to me. I will fill all your needs in the matter of cedar and cypress timber. My servant shall bring it down to the sea from the Lebanon, and I will make it into rafts to go by sea to the place you indicate. I will have them broken up there for you to take away, and you shall meet my needs by providing food for my household." So Hiram supplied Solomon's every need for timber of cedar and cypress. Solomon in turn gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20 cores of fine oil. Solomon gave this to Hiram year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised him. There was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. King Solomon conscribed forced labor out of all of Israel. The levy numbered 30,000 men. He sent them to the Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They would be a month in the Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon also had 70,000 laborers and 80,000 stone cutters in the hill country, besides Solomon's 3,300 supervisors who were over the work, having charge of the people who did the work. As the king's command, they quarried out great costly stones in order to lay the foundation of the house with dressed stones. So Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the Gebalites did the stone cutting and prepared the timber and the stone to build the house. Solomon builds the temple. In the 480th year after the Israelites came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, he began to build the house of the Lord. The house of that King Solomon built for the Lord was 60 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. The vestibule in front of the nave of the house was 20 cubits wide across the width of the house. Its depth was 10 cubits in front of the house. For the house, he made windows with recessed frames. He also built a structure against the wall of the house, running around the walls of the house, both the nave and the inner sanctuary, and he made side chambers all around. The lowest story was 5 cubits wide, the middle one was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide. For around the outside of the house, he made offsets on the wall in order that the supporting beam should not be inserted into the walls of the house. The house was built with stone, finished at the quarry, so that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron was heard in the temple while it was being built. The entrance for the lower story was on the south side of the house. One went up by the winding stairs into the middle story, and from the middle story to the third. So he built the house and finished it. He roofed the house with beams and planks of cedar. He built the structure against the whole house, each story 5 cubits high, and it was joined to the house with the timbers of cedar. Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon concerning this house that you are building. If you will walk in my statutes, obey my ordinances, and keep all my commandments by walking in them, then I will establish my promise with you that I made to your father. I will dwell among the Israelites and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. He lined the walls of the house on the inside with the board of cedar. From the floor of the house to the rafters of the ceiling, he covered them on the inside with wood, and he covered the floor on the house with boards of cypress. He built 20 cubits of the rear of the house with boards of cedar from the floor of the rafters, and he built this within as an inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. The house, that is the nave in front of the inner sanctuary, was 40 cubits long. The cedar within the house had carvings of gourds and open flowers. All was cedar, no stone was seen. The inner sanctuary he prepared in the innermost part of the house to set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The interior of the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid the altar with cedar. Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, then he drew chains of gold across in front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid it with gold. Next, he overlaid the whole house with gold in order that the whole house might be perfect. Even the whole altar that belonged to the inner sanctuary he overlaid with gold. The furnishings of the temple. In the inner sanctuary, he made 2 cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. 5 cubits was the length of one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the length of the other wing of the cherub. It was 10 cubits from the tip of one wing to the tip of the other. The other cherub also measured 10 cubits. Both cherubim had the same measure and the same form. The height of one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was that of the other cherub. He put the cherubim in the innermost part of the house. The wings of the cherubim were spread out so that a wing of one was touching the one wall, and a wing of the other cherub was touching the other wall. Their other wings towards the center of the house were touching wing to wing. He also overlaid the cherubim with gold. He carved the walls out of the house all around with carved engravings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers in the inner and outer rooms. The floor of the house he overlaid with gold in the inner and outer rooms. For the entrance to the inner sanctuary, he made doors of olive wood. The lintel and doorposts were 5-sided. He covered the 2 doors of olive wood with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. He overlaid them with gold and spread gold on the cherubim and on the palm trees. So also he made for the entrance to the nave doorposts of olive wood, 4-sided each, and 2 doors of cypress wood, and 2 leaves on one door were folding, and the 2 leaves on the other door were folding. He carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, overlaying them with gold evenly applied upon the carved work. He built the inner court with 3 courses of dressed stone to 1 course of cedar beams. In the 4th year, the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid in the month of Ziv. In the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was finished in all its parts and according to all its specifications. He was 7 years in building it. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? In this section, we read about the end of David's reign and the beginning of Solomon's. The biblical themes of the younger son taking the inheritance continues. We also read of several instances where Solomon has those considered enemies killed, including his brother. Kings chapter 2 ends with a statement, "Thus the kingdom was secured in Solomon's hand." Is it only through violence and death that humans can hold on to power? We see Solomon positioning himself through marriage to the Pharaoh's daughter and decision to sacrifice at shrines, yet he prays to God for wisdom. All were in awe of the king because of his wisdom. The reading ends with Solomon beginning to build a temple for the Lord. How might we think about the strategies of violence versus wisdom in seeking closeness to God? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also in the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you.